Well, thank you all so much for being here. We're so excited about our White House Champions of Change event focused on climate equity. And to get us started, it's my pleasure to introduce Valerie Jarrett, Senior Advisor to the President, and she also leads the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs and Public Engagement.
Thanks, Jamie. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the White House. We are so delighted to have you all here. I can't even begin to express. As everyone knows, it has been a tough last week, from tragic events from Baton Rouge to Minnesota to Dallas, and most recently last night in Nice, France. And I think the world is reeling. And at times like that, we need to be anchored in what's good and special and wonderful in ordinary citizens. And that's what our Champions of Change are all about. And we've had numerous Champions of Changes over the last 7.5 years, and each and every one of the individuals that we've honored, we've done so because we believe what you're doing is improving the communities in which you live. And that's what it means to be a terrific citizen. And so with no further ado, I would like for our champions to stand up so that we can all acknowledge them collectively, and you'll hear more about them individually later. But champions, stand up, please. Thank you. Thank you. Obviously, climate equity is so important, and as I was thinking about what to say to you, I thought I would just remind you that what you probably already know, which is that the president began his career as a community organizer. And climate equity and environmental justice were two of the many issues that he focused on in communities that were underserved. And we know all across our country, and we have people here from Baltimore to Alaska, so you represent the breadth and depth of our country. We know that there are communities where everyone who grows up doesn't get that fair chance and that fair shot. And what the president has been dedicated to since day one is ensuring we do everything within our power to ensure everybody grows up and can thrive. And what's more important than our climate to ensuring that that happens? And so each of you has worked your magic in a way that is extraordinary, and we want to lift you up and celebrate your success. And the reason we like to do it here from the White House, and we like to stream it so that all of, not just your friends and family, but everybody around the country can see what you've done, is because we want to hold up best practices. And we want to make sure that all across our country, the amazing work that you've done is being copied, because what better compliment is there than copying the work that you're doing? And although every community is unique, some of the strategies that you've employed to tackling the important issue of climate equity can be duplicated. And that's how we generate scale. And it's amazing how excited people back home are when you get honored by the White House. And so you're going to go home, you're going to be rock stars, and everybody's going to be saying, oh my gosh, I saw you in a newspaper, so you are really famous. And in all seriousness, that's what you're doing. You're really improving the quality of life of people across our country. And many of you could have done a lot of different things with your careers, and the fact that you chose to do this is something that the president believes is worthy of great recognition. So that's why we're all here. So we have a terrific program lined up for you all today. And to kick it off, as a person who really runs things in our climate space, Christy Golfus, who's going to come up and give a few remarks. So Christy, please join us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the White House and to our Climate Equity Champs of Change. We are so excited to have you here today to really recognize and celebrate the 10 remarkable champions working to make a difference in communities across the country. It's a real honor for me and exciting to be here because it was not too long ago that I got to announce this entire effort when I was in Cleveland, Ohio, talking to folks about sustainability, and it was a fabulous event there. I had the opportunity to announce the call for the nominations, and then now here we are to see the 10 folks. We had a huge amount of interest in this effort, really more than I anticipated, given that climate equity is somewhat of a new term to a lot of folks. But there was steep competition, because even though this term is somewhat new to folks, the work that you're doing and a lot of the tactics are things that we're very familiar with, at least at the local level. So what does climate equity mean, and what are we talking about when we use this term? Quite simply, the way we refer to it, and I think you heard it a little bit in Valerie's comments, we know the impacts of climate change are felt most by those with the fewest resources to handle them. So for example, for the first time here in the United States, we're preparing to move an entire community from an island off the coast of Louisiana, known as Île de Jean Charles, due to sea level rise. There are only 25 families there, and they have traditionally lived through fishing and subsistence farming. Many who could afford to move have already moved. The others we are going to work with to find a new location for them to go. In other locations across the country, vulnerable communities may not have the money to escape or prepare for extreme heat, intense storms, or other weather events leading to devastating impacts. If you look at the weather reports, it's really kind of terrifying what's going to happen over the next 10 days. There's a big red blob right over the entire country. Climate equity means ensuring that all communities have opportunities to benefit from climate change mitigation solutions like renewable energy employment and adaptation solutions. And when we talk about adaptation, we're talking about cooling centers, green infrastructure, or in the worst case scenarios, as I mentioned, relocation strategies. The federal government has the challenge of bridging this gap between the really extraordinary work that we see happening in all of your communities and some of the folks who haven't quite caught on yet. That's what today is all about. All of you, all 10 of you, are extraordinary leaders. You have developed solutions to the complex problems of climate change. You are putting people to work, spreading the word, and working through bureaucracies to implement change on the ground. At a time when differences in our communities capture all the headlines, all of you are bringing people together to get results and build a better and lasting future for everyone in this country. All of our climate equity champions are remarkable, but I just want to call out a few who really exemplify this work. Our youngest champion today is from Shishmaref, Alaska, S.O. Sinuk. See SO over there. He's an 18-year-old student and is making his voice heard by working to raise awareness about the threats of climate change and how those threats are really impacting his Inupiaq culture. Shishmaref, where SO is from, is one of the four most threatened communities in the state of Alaska. It's located on a narrow coastal barrier island facing the Chukchi Sea. Shishmaref is often cited as one of the most dramatic examples of climate change in the world. Temperatures in the Arctic, if you weren't aware, are increasing dramatically. Twice as fast, in fact, as the global average, leading to melting permafrost and decreasing sea ice. Melting permafrost actually destabilizes the island's banks, and the loss of sea ice, especially during the fall stormy season, exposes the already fragile land to storm surges. As a result, the island's shores have been eroding, sometimes as much as 125 feet in a single storm event. Despite the recent construction of seawalls, erosion continues to occur at an average of 10 feet per year, and the community may be forced to consider relocating to the more stable ground in the very near future. Esso is giving a voice to this community, his voice to this community. In addition to attending COP21 as a youth ambassador for the Arctic, he has communicated the challenges frontline communities face as a representative of the Sierra Club and the Indigenous Environmental Network, and traveled to the Arctic Council meetings, the capital of Alaska, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks to advocate for climate action. He has written about his life on the edge of climate change, and has also mentored other Alaskan youth in civic participation and environmental activism. Last year, many of you may have seen, President Obama traveled to the state of Alaska, where he was able to meet with local leaders and see the changes that are happening on the ground firsthand. He also had a full gaggle of reporters with him, following him, so they could also capture those changes and see what was happening on the ground. Communicating, showing the impacts, and building awareness are essential absolutely essential to driving the action we need to get to true climate equity. That trip that the president went on was really one of the first dramatic shifts where we saw reporters and the mainstream press talking about climate impacts the way they did, not whether or not climate change was happening. That's a shift that's essential if we're going to get to the solutions that all of you are so familiar with. That's why we're committed to lifting up leaders like ESSO, making sure that we're listening. The individuals experiencing these changes firsthand are the best voices to represent their communities and will have the best ideas about how to prepare for the future. So thank you, ESSO. However, the impacts of climate change are not limited. Oh. To highlight one more, the impacts of climate change are not limited to those communities slipping away into the ocean. From Montana and Minnesota to Louisiana, and of course here in DC, our champions are making sure that the most at risk to climate change have the tools and economic opportunities to help transition to a clean energy economy. This includes jobs. Jobs in solar power, which are growing almost 12 times faster than the overall US economy. But the benefits of those jobs haven't translated uniformly across all communities. That's why the administration has been committed to removing barriers to solar deployment in low and medium income communities, including Americans who are renters, lack the startup capital to invest in solar, or do not have adequate information on how to transition to solar energy. We are also enhancing employment opportunities for low-income and minority communities, including job training, to really remove the barriers to those jobs, which are coming online in such a huge way. Local leaders are stepping up in this space and building climate equity into our energy systems. One of our champions, Gilbert Campbell, Gilbert Campbell has led efforts right here in DC to promote economic opportunity for minority business owners in clean energy through his solar company, Volt Energy. Gilbert has installed solar projects in underserved communities and conducted solar job training programs to help minority communities benefit from the green economy while working to reduce carbon emissions and provide low-cost power. He is a powerful advocate for climate equity in his field, and as we continue to transition away from fossil fuels, it is critical that vulnerable communities are not left behind and take advantage of the job surge in this space. So once again, thank you to you, Gilbert. We're going to hear more individually about all of the champs, but ESSO and Gilbert are just two examples of the work that all 10 champs are doing. You will have a chance to learn and hear more when Janie comes up here in a moment. But before we get to that, just one more message to all of you. While there has been great progress in the climate equity space, there is still much to be done. This is really a new and emerging field. And as Valerie mentioned, this whole program, the Champions of Change program, is about seeing really what's happening on the ground, highlighting it, and hoping that others can learn from what you've learned and the challenges that you've already addressed. We must continue to look to our local leaders who are leading the way in their communities to learn what works. Then we can identify ways to teach others to take it to scale. You are truly the leaders that are giving us the solutions to plan for the future. And I am just so honored, overwhelmed with excitement when I read your bios and all the work that you've done, and so excited to have you here and have everyone hear from you today. So welcome to the White House, and thank you for all that you do.
I realize I forgot to introduce myself before. I'm Janie Bavishi. I'm the Associate Director for Climate Preparedness at the White House Council on Environmental Quality. And I'd like to invite Harriet Trigoning, the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Office of Community Planning and Development at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, to come up here and join me in introducing our champions. And if all the champions could come up the stairs on that side and line up for a photo as we call your name.
Good afternoon. This is really exciting. You got a chance, thanks to Christy, to get a sampling of some of our champions, and now Janie and I are going to be able to tell you some more about them in some detail. Let me begin with Kristen Baja of Baltimore, Maryland. She's the Climate and Resilience Planner at the Baltimore City Office of Sustainability. She's responsible for development, implementation, and monitoring of the city's disaster preparedness project and plan, which integrates climate adaptation with hazard mitigation efforts. She's also responsible for climate change communication and outreach, coordinating resiliency planning, the city's community rating system certification, and updating and implementing the city's sustainability plan. Kristen has led initiatives focused on increasing community adaptive capacity for vulnerable populations and ensuring underserved populations have their voices heard. She plays a vital role in coordinating city agencies and stakeholders around resiliency efforts. Kristen was awarded the American Society of Adaptation Planners Prize for Progress in 2015 for her work on equity and climate adaptation. Kristen?
Gilbert Campbell from Washington, D.C., who you've heard a little bit about already. Gilbert is a co-founder and principal of Volt Energy, a renewable energy firm that finances and develops solar energy projects, electrical vehicle charging stations, and energy storage solutions for commercial, governmental, educational, and nonprofit institutions. Volt Energy's clients include Subaru, the Cheesecake Factory, Pepco, Fort Bragg, Wake Forest University, KIPP D.C., and the Government of the District of Columbia. Gilbert has been widely recognized for his work in promoting clean energy, entrepreneurship, and STEM education in underserved communities. In 2014, he was the recipient of the Amtrak and Washington Wizards Pioneer Award, which recognizes individuals that have made a positive impact in their local communities, and was included in Ebony Magazine's Power 100 list. Gilbert.
Let's hear about Susanna Dianda. Susanna co-founded and co-directs the Community Water Center in Visalia, California. Susanna's a seasoned community organizer, and she's received numerous awards and recognitions, including the 2009 Petra Foundation Fellowship Award, 150 Fearless Women in the World by Newsweek Magazine in 2012, Women on Top, Top Activists by Marie Claire Magazine in 2012, AOL-sponsored PBS three-part series Makers, Women Who Have Shaped America in 2012, and Las Fabulosas and Inspiring Latinas by Powerful Latinas 2011. Susanna and, I know I'm scared of her too. Susanna and CWC are the focus of a chapter in Jill Iskell's 2011 book, Hearts on Fire. Susanna's held a variety of positions at organizations including the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment, the County of Merced's Planning Department, the Santa Barbara County Water Agency, and the Santa Barbara Nonprofit Community Environmental Council. For the past 2 years, Susanna has served on the Community Funding Board of the Grassroots Fund through the Rouse Foundation for Communities and the Environment, and now serves on the Tulare County Water Commission on the Board of Directors for the County's United Way. Susanna.
So now we're going to hear about Michael Durgolo. Michael is from Montana and serves as the Environmental Protection Division Manager for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes, or CSKT. He began his career in environmental advocacy in 1979 and has since worked for his tribe in a variety of positions, including tribal police officer, wildlife conservation officer, wetland conservation coordinator, and water quality regulatory specialist. Michael has further influenced environmental policy through his former position on the CSKT Tribal Council and current position on the National Tribal Science Council. In these roles and others, Michael has overseen a wide variety of environmental initiatives. In 2013, he led CSKT in developing a climate change strategic plan to address the effects of climate change on the Flathead Reservation and set a powerful example for other tribes as they develop strategies to protect the cultural and environmental resources. He has also worked to engage community youth in sustainability projects through the Environmental Advocates for Global Logical Ecological Sustainability, or EGLES program. Michael?
Let me introduce you to Michael Green of Boston, Massachusetts. Michael is the executive director and founding partner of the Climate Action Business Association. The Boston-based organization focuses on organizing leaders of small local businesses to advocate for action on climate issues at the local, state, national, and international level. CABA also supports local businesses in their reduction of their carbon footprints and with help becoming more resilient to the impacts of climate change through metrics-driven programs and strategic support from his staff. These businesses form a powerful network of sustainable practices and effective advocacy work. Michael advocates for policies to address climate change within and beyond his position at CABA. In addition to working on various national and international campaigns, Michael has served as a representative to the United Nations since 2012, focusing on international climate policy. Michael?
We're now going to introduce you to Cecilia Martinez from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Cecilia is the co-founder and director of research programs at the Center for Earth, Energy, and Democracy, or SEED. She previously held positions as associate research professor in the College of Earth, Ocean, and Environment at the University of Delaware, associate professor at Metropolitan State University, and research director at the American Indian Policy Center. Cecilia has also worked with a range of organizations from local grassroots groups to international organizations, engaging in the promotion of sound environmental policy and environmental justice. She served on the Climate Action Planning Steering Committee for the City of Minneapolis and has been appointed to serve on several national advisory boards. She is also on the leadership team for the National EJ and Science Initiative and is leading the effort on a Truth and Reconciliation Commission on Environmental Harms. Cecilia has led a variety of projects to address sustainable development at the local and international levels and has conducted research focused on the development of energy and environmental strategies that promote equitable and sustainable policies. Most recently, Cecilia co-authored a chapter on environmental justice and climate resiliency with Dr. Nikki Sheets. She's working on a manuscript on environmental justice and climate change, and among her other publication is the co-editor, has co-edited the volume on environmental justice, Discourses in International Political Economy, which includes some of her work on North American indigenous peoples and the challenge of forging a common agenda of indigenous rights, justice, and sustainability. Cecilia?
Let's hear about Colette Pichon Battle of Slidell, Louisiana. Colette has worked for the past 10 years with local communities, national funders, and elected officials around equity issues in her home state of Louisiana in the post-Katrina and post-BP disaster Gulf Coast. She currently serves as the executive director of the Gulf Coast Center for Law and Policy, developing programs focused on global migration, community economic development, climate justice, and equitable disaster recovery. Colette has won a variety of awards for her work with Gulf Coast communities, including the 2015 U.S. Human Rights Network Movement Builder Award and the 2015 Echoing Green Climate Fellowship. Most recently, Colette was named a water champion by the Greater New Orleans Foundation in recognition of her efforts supporting underrepresented communities and improving the lives of Gulf Coast residents. Colette?
We're now going to hear a little bit more about Esau Sinuk from Shishmaref, Alaska. Esau was raised on the Alaskan island on the front lines of climate change. Growing up in such a community inspired Esau to share his experiences, telling stories of how climate change has affected Shishmaref in order to raise awareness about the issues his community faces. Esau represented his community when he traveled to COP21 for the United Nations climate change negotiations as part of the Sierra Student Coalition and continues his advocacy in his current role as an Arctic Youth Ambassador for the U.S. Chairmanship of the Arctic Council. He studies tribal management at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and hopes to run for governor of Alaska by the year 2030. Esau?
Let me introduce you to Vian Truong of Oakland, California. Vian is one of the country's foremost experts when it comes to building an equitable green economy. Inspired by her childhood in one of Oakland's poorest and most polluted communities, she now leads Green for All, a national initiative with the goal of creating a green economy strong enough to lift people out of poverty. Among other accomplishments, Green for All was a key player in creating the country's first Green Jobs Act in 2007. Vian is an instrumental leader in a wide variety of green economy initiatives. She's developed over a dozen state policies, created numerous energy and workforce programs, and advised on billions of dollars in public investments for energy and community development programs. More specifically, Vienna is known for accelerating California's transition to electric vehicles through the Charge Ahead initiative and developing strong workforce standards in the environmental technology sector through the California Climate Credit. Let's see Vienna. Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Desiree Williams-Raji from Portland, Oregon. Desiree is the Equity Specialist for the City of Portland Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As the Equity Specialist, she provides technical assistance to shape the city's urban planning and sustainability programs, policies, and services with an equity lens. Desiree led an effort to authentically engage organizations that serve communities of color and low-income populations through a formal learning partnership. Together, staff and community members built mutual capacity and actively collaborated to create a climate plan that meaningfully reduces carbon emissions, prepares for climate impacts, and delivers more equitable outcomes for Portland's underserved and underrepresented communities. The work has inspired other cities across the country and in Canada to incorporate similar equity considerations into their climate action planning efforts. The final product reflected a groundbreaking process that catalyzed the agency to rethink climate policy and public involvement and reignited a grassroots climate and environmental justice movement within Portland's communities of color. Desiree was also a founding board member of the Center of Diversity and the Environment and a member of the inaugural cohort of the Young Climate Leaders Network. Desiree? So let's give a round of applause for our White House Champions of Change for Climate Equity.